Our boy Brendan Porath joins us now from the Fried Egg. Explain to everybody why on earth, because the FedEx Cup used to kind of go between like New York, Boston, and it was like they tried to chase the good weather this time of year, and now they're playing in Memphis.
Well, it's money, as most things in professional sports. The origin story or the motive behind it is money. FedEx is based in Memphis. They have sort of their thumb on the scale. They are a sugar daddy of the PGA Tour, or one of them, and they wanted to bring it home. The event in Memphis was sort of a sleepy, snoozy event the week before the U.S. Open that not a lot of good players or top-ranked players would play. They had it there, and they were sponsoring basically the entire PGA Tour season with this FedEx Cup sort of contrivance or contraption they created in 2007. It's not that old. And they decided to move it to Memphis. The Tour Championship's always been in Atlanta.
Right.
Whether it should be is a separate question. I think obviously Atlanta should probably have a professional golf tournament. Whether it should happen in mid-August, separate question. I don't think it's ideal. The course is so-so. It underwent a significant renovation by Andrew Green, who I know you're familiar with, JP.
Yeah.
But it should be better this year. It's just in the kind of pursuit or answering to different sponsors, which is a thing you have to do when you're a major professional sports league, they've lost some real major markets, and it doesn't make any sense when you look at the schedule. There's no event in Philly. There's no event in New York. There's no event in Chicago. There's no event, regular event in D.C.,
yep.
To name a few. And it just, especially around in Boston, add another one. Especially around the playoff time when maybe it might be nice to go to New York or Boston, even Chicago. It's odd that you've moved around so much and lost those completely off the schedule.
How much money is FedEx paying them?
That's a good question. It ranges. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars per year. The payout
and
let's go to Memphis.
So where is the playoff this year? So it's Memphis. Is it Cherry Hills? Are they going to Denver next?
They're going to Denver, but not Cherry Hills. They're going to Castle Pines in Denver, which has had professional golf, you know, when I was a kid a long time ago. But that'll be interesting. They're going to hit it, you know, 450 yards at 6,000 feet
right.
elevation or 6,500 feet. So that'll be next week and then back to Atlanta. And they've moved it all around, right? They don't want to go up against regular season NFL football, certainly college football on Saturdays as well in Atlanta. So they have moved it to be done by Labor Day, but it's sweaty, man, going to Memphis and Atlanta in August.
So they play this thing year-round, well, the FedEx Cup supposedly year-round. Do they get points for their seeding in this tournament?
They do not. So they get points in every single event, some more than others. And then the top 70 points get into the playoffs starting this week. They cut down to 50 for next week, and then the final 30 for the third week.
So the points do matter for the final tournaments, basically.
Yeah,
I know that Scheffler was asking, why do they consider this a year-round thing? Well, you get your points, and if you're not in the top 70, you're going home.
Yeah, the third and final event is pretty goofy. And they've changed this thing so many times, like the format, the amount of points that are available. And it's, 17 years old now? They've changed it probably 10 times, how the points are made and what the finals look like. The final one in Atlanta is a little goofy. They have a staggered start leaderboard, so if you have the most points after the second playoff event next week, you start at 10 under in the finals. And the last guy, the 30th guy, is starting at even par. And there are just a bunch of different slots in between, six under if you're whatever, 12th or something like that. And that's pretty goofy. And I get that's where Scheffler has a bone to pick. Like, say he's first starting that week. He like kind of strains his neck like he talked about or throws out his back. He can't play. He immediately drops to 30th and finishes 30th in, quote unquote, the race for the season long FedEx Cup and makes that 30th point bonus pool. I think with him, his problem is with the whole phrasing of race, season long race. It's a playoffs. If you want it to be a playoffs, like Patrick Mahomes can twist his ankle and he's out. Like maybe the best team doesn't win the playoffs because whoever, Kevin Durant gets hurt or something like that. Like that happens in golf. Like the best player during the season might not win the playoffs. So they just kind of get their wires crossed trying to make it everything and use all the different terms like season long race and the playoffs.
Hey, got to stay healthy. If you don't stay healthy in any sport, that can happen.
Speaking of the wires being crossed, is there any live? Remember, there was going to be this merger? Like, honestly, the real winners in this are the majors, and all of a sudden we're all into Olympic golf because finally we get to see everybody on the same course.
Yeah, yeah. It does not – I mean, Jay Monahan spoke yesterday, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, and it doesn't sound like
his job.
It's
what I told you about people that keep their jobs and move
up. Cockroaches.
The subject of debate for sure in the golf world. It's been an amazing power struggle, and the fact that he's gone on has been a kind of a study in sort of wielding power in those struggles. But he spoke yesterday, and someone said, like, "Hey, you just released your 2025 schedule. Doesn't look like there's any contemplation of live with that at all. Or 26 or 27, is it fair to say, like, you're not very close, that you're not going to be merged with live by then?" He said that would be fair to say. And I don't know if he was addressing, like, the 27 hypothetical, 2027, because it could be. Like, there's no – I don't know if they're just waiting for live to bleed them out or live to bleed out and just keep spending all this money with no real traction. If live needs to put the hammer down and take another ROM like they did last winter, that was clearly a move to kind of push negotiations along and hasten them by picking off ROM. It does not seem like any progress is being made, whether that's by design or by sort of dysfunction within the PGA Tour and their board trying to get everyone aligned.
What a mess. All right, last thing, dude, if you don't mind. Yep. I, earlier in the week, called Matt Kuchar a douchebag, and nobody knew what I was talking about, and I haven't explained it. I believe I'm correct in my assertion, but if you disagree, let me know. But can you just bring everybody up to speed on the BS that Kuchar pulled in Greensboro, please?
I mean, okay, so the hurricane or tropical storm hits the southeast last week. The event in Greensboro, they basically do not play for a day and a half, an insane amount of water on the course. They get 72 holes. They rush to, like, get the course in playable shape. Everyone gets to play. It's the end of the regular season. You got to get it done. And so they get it in shape. Sunday comes. They start the second round. They finish it. They start the third round. They finish it. And they start the fourth round. First time ever in tour history they've done three rounds in a single day. And they're going. They're pushing till darkness. They give them 5 hours to play golf, which would be an insane amount of time at our local course or club. And they're getting to the end. All this Herculean effort to get the course in shape, get everybody off. Matt Kuchar is not in contention. He is in 12th place. He's not going to make the playoffs. He's out. He's not going. His season is over. And he decides to pick up his ball in the 18th, not fairway, but rough. The 18th fairway. His season is over. It doesn't matter. The winner or the second place player who has a chance to win decides to play in. A guy who could have the power to, like, "Hey, I'm not comfortable. It's a little too dark. I want to pick my ball up, come back, play it in the morning." Again, that's context for Kuchar. Like, it didn't matter. I get that there was money. Kuchar's made $60 million. He's done some stuff recently, like stiffed his caddy, like legitimately stiffed him in Mexico a few years ago.
I remember. And he just made him $5,000 or something, right?
Yeah, he won, like, I forget what it was, in the high six figures. It's just a real, like, boneheaded move.
The dude should have got a lot.
Right.
Yes. Yes, and he picks up his ball, walks off, which means the scoring, the grounds crew, the dining, the range staff, everybody has to come back so Matt Kuchar can spend 6 minutes playing an inconsequential finish to 18. And everybody lost their minds.
Right? Yeah. Told him he had to finish that night.
Yeah, everybody's got to come back. The CBS is like, the hell with this. We're not obviously coming back to televise it. They're done. All their guys
kind of dunked on him.
No, yeah, like, we're not. And honestly, I've heard from the guys playing with him, the guy who actually had a chance to win, was like, it was ridiculous. He wasn't in line with it. It was, like, if anyone had a right to kind of like, "Hey, man, this is not the perfect conditions to play in, and I could really win this thing," it was him. And he was like, no, Kuchar was ridiculous. He's out of line. And Kuch kind of has a little bit of, like, he does this aw shucks thing, but he's pretty sort of self-absorbed. And it was just, it was a mind-blowing, as you said, D-bag move by Kuchar.
Yeah.
Well, he could just change the name from Kuchar to Douche. Somebody should just be there. And next, on the tee box,
right,
Matt Duchar.
That'd be so amazing. The tour that just kowtows to every player. Just the starter and the John Deere next year.